While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Now, in February, Panorama ran a programme on vaccines, the disinformation war in the UK. And they showed a panel of people a video filled with fake news about COVID vaccines to see how that affected people's willingness to go and get a jab. And it featured people who were presenting as scientific or medical professionals. Some of them alleged, contrary to evidence, that vaccines are unsafe, exaggerating the risks, or that they can somehow alter your DNA, or even that the pandemic is somehow unreal, and that vaccines are some kind of sinister global plot to control people. There are even claims that Microsoft founder Bill Gates wants to use COVID vaccines to inject us with microchips. An 83-year-old Rosemary, one of the panelists, was frightened, suddenly unsure about whether she should get vaccinated. She says it sounded so real and the people were so plausible. And it was only after some reassurance that this was fake news that many were happy to reconsider getting the vaccine. In February, Westminster Council issued a warning after this particular video was being circulated in Asian and Black communities, with indications that some ethnic minority groups are more reluctant when it comes to getting vaccinated for COVID. The council leader said this: "The fact that they are targeting it at those communities will mean there will be people who will die as a result of not having the vaccine." And in fact, over the past couple of weeks in the United States, Google and Facebook and Twitter have come under pressure to remove COVID vax fake news from their platforms. Now, what do you think of that news? The reality is that fake news is a big problem, and not just for COVID vaccines. Fake news is false, misleading information presented as news. Often it's aimed at damaging the reputation of a person or a cause, or making money, or gaining or protecting power and influence. And the impact on people ranges from living a lie through to losing your life. And in part, fake news is powerful because it appeals to our native language. Ever since Adam and Eve believed the language of Satan's fake news in the Garden of Eden, the lie that God is not good, human nature has this cynical tendency to suppress truth and believe lies where it appears to be in our best interest to do so. And that is exactly what is happening in our Bible passage today. Matthew records the religious leaders' attempt to cover up the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they spread fake news, whilst Jesus, alive from the dead, commands his disciples to tell the world the truth. This is all about whether we believe the fake news or the true news about Jesus' resurrection. And the stakes couldn't be higher. Believe the fake news about Jesus' resurrection, and you will live a lie. You'll lose out on eternal life in the here and now and forevermore. But believe the true news about Jesus' resurrection, and you will live in the real world. You'll gain eternal life in the here and now and forever after. So firstly, beware of the fake news about Jesus. Beware of the fake news about Jesus. It's there in verse 11 to 15. But some background first of all. The religious authorities, they were jealous of Jesus. It was because they hated him that they crucified him. But after he died on the cross, they had a concern. If you've got a Bible open, just turn back to Matthew chapter 27 and verses 62 to 64. Matthew 27, verse 62. We're told there that the chief priests and the Pharisees, the religious elite, they went to Pilate, the Roman governor. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said," they're referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, "after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." Well, as we saw last week, Easter Sunday morning, true to his word, Jesus rose again, came back from the dead. The tomb was open. The guards, they're left for dead men in the presence of a mighty angel. And Jesus' friends, Mary and Mary, meet Jesus. And they run to tell his friends the unbelievably good news. But look at what happens next. Matthew 28 and verse 11. Matthew 28, verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away whilst we were asleep." Now, it's deceptive, but it's utter nonsense as an argument. I mean, how would the soldiers know the disciples stole Jesus' body if they were asleep? And besides, the disciples, well, they'd totally lost the plot. They'd gone into hiding. They were terrified for their lives. They were too afraid to try a daring nighttime raid against heavily armed Roman soldiers. But the religious leaders assure the soldiers in verse 14, "If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. It's fake news. Widely circulated by the religious leaders and the soldiers. It was false information that was presented as news, aimed at damaging the reputation of the now risen Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples in order to protect their power and their jobs and their influence. It is a staggering and a terrifying insight into human unbelief and into our capacity to live a lie for the sake of self interest against all of the evidence. And it is fake news that has been widely circulated ever since. I think it's fair to say that most people today have not stopped to consider how implausible this fake news story about the disciples stealing Jesus' body actually is. But most don't take the resurrection of Jesus seriously because, well, dead people don't rise, right? I mean, no one believes that today, do they? I mean, that he actually physically came back from the dead? Isn't that just a primitive fairy tale? More of a fable and with lessons to be learned about new life and a fresh start. Oh, let's beware of believing this fake news about Jesus' resurrection. Just pause to think about it for a moment. And you'll see that it is, of course, entirely logical that the Son of God would not be beaten by death. We may not understand it, but we wouldn't expect death to beat God. He wouldn't be God. But the truth is that the fake news about Jesus' resurrection is powerful because it appeals to our native language of lies, our cynical tendency for our human hearts to suppress, our sinful hearts to suppress the truth and believe lies where it appears to be in our best interest to do so. Because to believe Jesus rose and is still alive today, take that seriously. And Jesus, the Son of God, has authority over everything, over you, over me. And one day we'll stand before him and give account for our lives. It's why they spread fake news in the first century, trying to cover over his glorious resurrection to life. And it's why we take on board fake news about Jesus today. But it is to live a lie and to lose out on eternal life here and now and forevermore. Don't be a gullible lemming, unthinkingly joining the masses and rushing headlong into eternal destruction without the risen Christ, only to face his judgment, dismissing the historical resurrection of Jesus as a fairy tale. Don't be brainwashed by the cynical unbelief of our culture that is unable to accept a logical reality that God would beat death. So beware. Beware of the fake news about Jesus. But instead, believe the true news about Jesus' resurrection. Believe the true news about Jesus. And we see this in verses 16 to 20. As Matthew records the risen Lord Jesus meeting in person, face to face, not on a screen, not behind a mask, face to face. We see four huge implications of the resurrection of Jesus. Here's the first one. Believe the true news about Jesus and you'll worship with confident faith. You'll worship with confident faith. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, and they saw him. So when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. You notice that? These were not primitive, gullible, first century people. If we think of first century people like that, it is kind of historical bigotry, isn't it? These were not first century primitive gullible people. There's a mixture of worship and doubt here. They'd seen Jesus die. The resurrection of Jesus, it was too good to be true. thing was, there he was, Jesus, standing in front of them with a real physical body, back from the dead. And the evidence overcame their doubts. And they worship him. Now, I wonder if the fake news that's circulating in our culture that is cynical to the resurrection of Jesus has weakened your faith. Your confident, wholehearted worship of the Lord Jesus, so that you hold back from him. You fail to give him your everything. See, with most living as though the resurrection of Jesus never happened, isn't it easy to live the same? For it not to make really a practical difference to this afternoon, to tomorrow, this week. Embarrassed maybe to stand by this historical event because it sounds, well, unbelievable in 21st century ears. Well, let's remember that it sounded equally as unbelievable in first century ears. It always has done. Because our native language is to suppress truth that is bigger than us and is uncomfortable for us. Let the evidence of the risen Lord Jesus overcome your doubts and worship him for who he is, the risen Lord of life. Secondly, believe the true news about Jesus and you'll want to see people converted with transformed lives. You'll want to see people converted with transformed lives. Look at verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, if you lived in North Korea or Pakistan or Saudi Arabia or a whole host of other countries today, fake news about Jesus' resurrection has so brainwashed those cultures that encouraging others to convert to following Jesus gets you imprisoned and tortured and killed. Here in the UK, Christians openly encouraging people to convert, to follow Jesus and live a transformed life under his rule is typically seen as a rather bigoted thing to do. Because by and large, our culture too preaches and accepts fake news about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And to be fair, you know, converting people to Jesus would be bigoted if the resurrection was a fairy tale. The teachings of Jesus would just be another set of ideas and kind of something to add to the pick and mix of a multi-faith society. But the fact that Jesus really rose from the dead, it changes everything. Here is hope. For everybody, hope in the face of our greatest enemy that we can't beat, death. The man who beat death, he has all authority. And because Jesus' death and resurrection is good news for the world, Jesus says, go and tell the world. Go and tell everybody. Go and make followers, make converts. So that people follow me, the risen Lord Jesus, people from all nations, people from every continent, people from every tribe, every woman, every man, every boy, every girl, called to follow the risen Lord Jesus and to live a transformed life under his rule. Now, this is increasingly controversial in our culture. And it's easy as Christians to begin to behave as though the resurrection is fake news, that it's kind of take it or leave it news. And I think the way it works out is that we simply have lots of friends. We're good neighbors. We seek people's material well-being. But we're just coy about conversion and really weirdly undercover about our desire for them to know Jesus, the one who gives eternal life. And that there's a fear of being labeled as being bigoted or of losing friends. And for sure, there are sensitive and appropriate ways to share our faith. But we do really well to ask ourselves if we actually believe that Jesus' resurrection means he really does have authority in heaven and on earth to command us, his people, to go and make disciples of everyone. Your friends, your neighbors, your family, your colleagues, your children. Believe the true news about Jesus, and you'll sensitively seek to convert others, to transform lives in relationship with Christ. It's the best thing in the world. Don't lose confidence in that. Thirdly, believe the true news about Jesus, and you'll want to see people baptized, showing a new allegiance to Christ. You'll want to see people baptized, showing a new allegiance to Christ. Look at verse 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, believer's baptism is a powerful way of saying publicly, I belong to the living God. That's what Jesus means when he commands baptism to be done in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's about belonging to God. As a person is baptized, the word means dunked, being dunked under the water. It's symbolic of dying to their old rebellious way of life. And as they're pulled up out of the water, it's symbolic of being raised to a new and forgiven way of life that's trusting in and submitting to Jesus, someone who belongs to Christ. And baptism is one of the most basic commands that Jesus gives to everyone who comes to faith in him. It's a public way of saying, I belong to Jesus. And it is so countercultural. You see, when you get baptized, what you're saying is, to believe that I'm my own person is to believe a lie. I am now Jesus' person. Everything about me belongs to him. My personality and my traits, my gifts and my abilities, the very person that he's made me, I belong to him. And I want to show that publicly in baptism. As I look back to my own baptism as a teenager, a few years ago, I have to say, it's one of the most faith-affirming things that the Lord Jesus has given to believers. And if you're a Christian, you're a believer, and you've not been baptized, look at these words here. Because the risen Lord Jesus commands his disciples to make disciples and to baptize them. So what is it that hinders you from baptism? And there can be many reasons. And I want to be careful what I say here, and where there's theological differences here too. But I want to warn you of being like I was when I was a teenager. Because I hesitated on this for a number of years. Become a Christian. Some years later, I got baptized. I gave lots of reasons for it, lots of excuses. But for me, it basically boiled down to disobedience. And for a while, I missed out on the blessing of baptism. Jesus, alive from the dead, He causes people to follow him in baptism, joyfully showing a new allegiance to him. Well, fourthly, believe the true news about Jesus and you'll teach and be teachable with complete obedience to Christ. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Following Jesus is not, it's not like following a celebrity on Instagram or Facebook. You can choose when you look at their latest posts and their stories. You can choose how much influence they have over you. And if you unfollow them, well, they're probably not going to notice, and it will make very little difference to your life. To follow the Lord Jesus is life-changing, and it is forever. Isn't it the easiest thing to simply blend in with our culture, to give in to peer pressure, to go along with the fake news that Jesus' resurrection doesn't matter too much, doesn't have much implications for our daily lives? But followers of the risen Jesus bow to his supreme authority and seek to give themselves in complete obedience to him in every area of their lives. And of course, the best gauge of whether we're doing this is how much we love our Bibles, how often they're open. For it's in the Bible that we know what Jesus commands. So a good question to ask is, how hungry are you to learn? How hungry are you to be taught God's word? Because a complete obedience to Jesus means, rather than coming to the Bible and saying, well, what do I think of this? What's my opinion of what God's saying? It's saying, what is God actually saying here? How do I submit to him in his word? It's very different from coming to kind of give my opinion on what God says. Saying, I want to hear what God says. It means that rather than coming to God's word and trying to fit it into our framework of thinking and to fitting into the culture around us, it's allowing the word of God to actually shape our framework of thinking. So it's being transformed and reformed and how we view the culture around us. Believe the true news about Jesus' resurrection and you will be a Bible-hungry person, keen to understand it, committed to complete obedience to it. The resurrection of Jesus really is an issue of who's boss of you. Is it Jesus and his word, the Bible? Or actually, is it you and the culture around you that's shaping you? Well, look, here are these four big things. Implications of the resurrection of Jesus, of seeing through the fake news, believing the true news about Jesus. Believe the true news about Jesus and you'll worship Jesus with growing confidence. You'll want conversions, people's lives transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll get baptized. You'll want people to be baptized. Show that new allegiance in your life. And you'll teach and you'll be teachable. And want complete obedience to Jesus through his word. And as we respond to the supreme authority of the risen Lord in these ways, we have a wonderful promise. Jesus ends it here, verse 20. We'll be blessed by Jesus' presence. Blessed by Jesus' presence. Look at it in verse 20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus then returned to heaven, but he sent his Holy Spirit to be with, to empower, to comfort, to lead those who see through the fake news and believe the true news. And it means this. Let's revisit those four things. As we worship him, the risen Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit deals with our doubts and grows us in confident faith in Jesus. So we ask him to do that. And it means that as we pray for and as we seek the conversion of people around us who are blinded by the fake news about the risen Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit uses us in the transformation of people's lives so that they follow him too. So we ask him to do that. And it means that as we publicly profess our allegiance to the risen Lord Jesus in baptism, and then in our daily lives for the rest of life, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so we ask him to do that. And it means that as we open our Bibles to hear from the risen Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit warms our hearts, changes our will to give ourselves in complete obedience to Jesus. And so we ask him to do that. Beware. Beware of the fake news about Jesus' resurrection. And believe. Believe the true news about Jesus' resurrection. This is precisely how the gospel went viral in the first century world. And it is precisely how the gospel goes viral in the UK and in the world today.